Oral Roberts in our talk the other night, and he's just one of many I've talked to. I mention him because he said some rather significant things. But one of the things he said was that the body of Christ has been ripped apart because of our attitudes towards each other. Our unwillingness to pray for each other, our spirit of judgment and criticism that we've had, the way we have judged one another. And what would happen if we came together and began to pray for each other rather than rip each other apart? What would happen? What would happen if we started rebuking Satan away from people rather than judging people and cursing them in the name of Satan? And we so often do that. What if we stood together and said, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your stance is. You're my brother. You're my sister. And we will walk together in this thing. What would God do in our midst across this kingdom that we've allowed Satan to rule this earth and to destroy good people? Because we have been so critical and so harsh and so judgmental in our attitudes towards one another. I prayed yesterday. Jean and Jane Barry took me out in their boat, and I said, I got to get out of here, you know. And God had spoken to me in the middle of the night the other night. He said, if your heels start acting like it, don't just sit around here like a hermit, you know. And we went out yesterday morning and just went out on the river and went down to one of the islands, and I fished without a shrimp on my hook, you know, that kind of thing. And it was a blessed time. It was good to get back in the air and start breathing again and start realizing that, okay, we've got a fight ahead of us, but by God's strength, we're gonna walk through this thing, and we're gonna come out. God's gonna do something marvelous as we do this. And it was a good time. I was riding in the boat as we went down the river yesterday morning, and the Lord reminded me of two things that He had said to me just the day before. The night before, I'd gone through another one of those CAT scans where they put you on a table and wheel you in and out of this huge donut-shaped machine that takes pictures of your insides, and they're looking for all the things that are wrong. And while I was sliding through this thing, through this big machine, why God spoke to me. He said two words to me. And here I've got my hands above my head so that they can stretch me out. And they've got an IV in here with some kind of dye going into my veins. And they've put some kind of horrible stuff inside of me that coats my esophagus. They were taking pictures of my lungs. They're trying to determine if there's anything up in here as well as down in here. And I can't see any of that. It's just as well. I'm glad I can't. I'm glad it's on the inside, not on the outside, because if I did, I'd get scared. And so I'm just, you know, I'm looking at God. I'm not looking at my insides anyway, but He reminded me of something that He had said to me. He said two words to me. And the first thing He said to me was, now you will see my mighty hand at work in your life. And the second thing He said was, Satan meant this for evil, and I will turn it for good. And I'm standing on those. I really do believe that. We have found ourselves lying in bed at night, praying more for those who are praying for us than we are praying for ourselves. Waking early in the morning and lying there for an hour, 45 minutes, just if you can imagine the two of us lying there in bed side by side with a sheet pulled up to our chins, singing and reciting scriptures and praising God and praying and find ourselves praying for those who are praying for us. The Lord keeps bringing to mind just so many names of those who are holding us up and said, Jamie, this is something you need to be doing. Now, you need to be praying for those who are holding. Jackie has reminded me several times that the only legitimate prayer that we have is to find out what Jesus is praying. The scriptures say that Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints. Then I need to find out what He's interceding. I need to find out what Jesus is praying, and I need to join with Him in agreement in that prayer. That's the only legitimate prayer. Everything else is wishful thinking. And there's a whole lot of wishful thinking, and I praise God for folks who wish good things for me. People who say good luck to you and all that kind of thing. That's fine. But that's not going to mean anything. That's great, and I bless you for it. But the thing that really means something is when we find out what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And I found myself for the first time in my life saying, that's where I want to be. We were in this boat tooling down the river, and I said, Lord, let me tell you what my case is. And I'm sharing this with you because you guys are going to have to walk this thing through with me. And if you don't, if that's a little hard, then I'm really serious. It's really time to bail out. And God said that some would bail out. But this is not going to be the same. And you're not going to like some of the things that I'm going to say, because I'm going to tell you what God's saying. And I wouldn't have liked it 3 weeks ago either. And I probably wouldn't have liked somebody saying it. But I can't help that. I'm not doing this deliberately. I when I was going down the river in the boat, sitting in the stern of the boat, and I brought my case before God. And my case before God is this: Lord, let me live that I might touch you with one hand and touch your body with the other. That I can stand in the middle of that. Let me live that I can hear you with one ear and speak your word with my mouth. Give me enough strength and enough comfort that I can hear what you're saying and put it on the paper and share it with the entire body of Christ. I know I can't do that if I'm hurting too bad. And so I need his strength and I need his ability to do that. All the other things are immaterial to that. But give me enough time and give me enough comfort that I can be your mouthpiece and that I can be your hand. And if I get down here and shout in the midst of you, I just get down and shout in the midst of you, that's all. But I'm determined I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Now, a couple of things that he has said, and I'm going to turn this thing on. We're going to move it on just a little bit more here with this. One of the things, and it's a word that came through Oral Roberts the other night. Oral said, I've got faith for you. He says, God has given me a gift of faith that this is not your time. But, he said, and everything I hear from God is conditional. It's always in the subjunctive mood. It has a big if with it for some reason. But, he said, God will have to give you that faith himself. That can't come from me. Has to come from God. And Jackie and I began to get serious and said, faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed. And one of those gifts in the Holy Spirit is the gift of faith. God has got to give that to me. And that has come during this week. Now, it came in all different ways. It came at all different levels. It came wishing that the pathologist report was going to show that it was all a big mistake. That when they got the thing back, they had my records mixed up. They had really, this was somebody else's pictures and it wasn't mine. Or that there had been a miraculous healing in the midst of this and it was all over. And God said, no, that's too quick. It's going to take more time than that. It's going to take more time than that for you. And it's going to take more time for the church. And it's going to take more time for the body of Christ. So whatever's going to happen is going to be a process. There's a difference in miracle, which is instantaneous, and healing, which is a process. And this is going to be a process, and you're going to walk through it. I'm going to need you to walk through it with me, not for my sake, but for the body of Christ. And so we've got to pray for faith for one another, that we will hear God together, that we will stand together, that we will not speak anything except the Word of God. Now, God's going to do something special in this church. He's rising up some new leaders. And that's going to happen. We're going to see that happen. That could not have happened if I hadn't gotten out of the way, and suddenly I'm out of the way. And I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the summer. Now, I'm planning my life. We're going to go on. I've got a trip to Israel planned the last 2 weeks of October, a hiking trip. I called the guys the other day and said, we're going to do it. We're going to go on. I don't know what all that holds, but we're not canceling out on life at all. I'll walk this thing through. We're going to believe it. I'm going to get what medical help seems right, but we're praying about that at every step, and we need your prayers on this at every step. I don't think that God wants his man to be experimented on. Amen. And I don't think he wants him to be destroyed in the midst of something else. And we're willing to trust him, but we're going to go as far as we can with this, but we're praying at every step as we go through with this, that God will open the right doors, he'll send us to the right places, to the right people, So far, we're just kind of struggling. I haven't found any Christian doctors. Hard to come by. Doctors, I ask these doctors, I say, are you Christian? They all say no. I mean, they don't even say, well, I go to church. They just say no. And I say, okay, they're body mechanics, and I praise God for body mechanics. But I'm looking for a great physician. I'm looking for somebody who's, and God's going to send. We're not worried about that. It's going to be okay. And he can use heathen kings. He can use heathen body mechanics. And I praise God for them. Oral said the other night, I said, remember, those doctors hate disease more than most Christians do. And it's okay. I mean, you can trust quality, you can trust technology up to a point. But you don't trust it for your future or for your life eternal. You trust God. So anyway, that's one thing. Second thing really had that God has been dealing with me, and I told you, I've been in his presence. And he said for me to come back and tell you some things. And it's going to be like this from now on. I mean, you're going to hear this whenever you're around me. You're going to hear it Sunday after Sunday. And I'm determined with that. Let me tell you folks something. I have been a filter of other people's knowledge nearly all of my ministry. I have heard what others have said. I've gone across this world. I've picked up what they've all said. I've filtered it through, and I have encapsulated that. And I don't know what all this means. I know that my kidneys and my lymph systems are part of the filter systems of the body. And we've picked up some stuff. And it's time for a backwash now. And I'm prepared for that, for a cleansing. And we have been through that this week. I will not tell you how deep that has been. The cleansing that Jackie and I have been through together and that we have been through before God. And Jackie said, don't tell them too much because they'll lose faith. And I, okay, I'll not do that. But I want you to know it's been deep. I mean, really deep, all the way down. As far as I know, everything that shouldn't be there is gone. I mean, it clean, as far as I know. I'm able to say to those doctors when they poked me with a needle the other day, as one of those guys did, I said, watch out, you're poking a man of God. Just watch out. And that's where we are. I know that the positive confession is right. And I know I keep that up. When they handed me a form the other day when we went through the bone scan, and they handed me a form and I had to fill out a set of questions, and because the technicians there didn't know why I was up there or anything else. And one of them was, do you have cancer? And I refused to answer it. I just was not going to put it down. I was not going to put down on that piece of paper. Now, I did say, the doctors say that I do.
Amen.
And that satisfied them. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look at a God who heals. And that's why I'm encouraging you folks to do the same thing. I mean, this is not just for Jamie. This is for each one of you. Every one of you have got your own problem. There's some of you sitting out there who've had a diagnosis of cancer. I prayed for some of you up here a few minutes ago. I'm going to give you some guidance on how to walk through this and what to do with it. You walk through it with your eyes fixed on God. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose eyes, heart, mind is fixed and stayed on God. I had a tough time the other night, Tuesday night. I got my head and my heart all mixed up. I just got more news from the doctor. My head took over, and I laid in bed, and I told my boys, Tim and back there, and Bruce, I said, I planned my funeral. You know, where am I going to be buried? What am I going to wear? Who's going to take care of these expenses? How much do funerals cost? We got to hurry up and get something done, and I got to get it done before dawn, and all that stuff you do when you go through nights, you know, I mean, it's really bad. And I got up the next morning, and Jackie says, you've got your head and your heart mixed up. Said, your heart believes, your heart has faith, but your head's listening to words from the outside. And that's the reason that scripture passage meant so much to me there. From Isaiah 23, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. I'm going to keep my head stayed on God, my mind fixed on God. And I'm coming back to you folks, and I'm saying, do it. Now, the other thing is that God so strongly has said, stop your critical attitude. He said that to me. I went through the stuff I've been writing this last week. I, I've got some articles that we're writing for Ministries Magazine that Michelle and I work on together, and I found some stuff where I'd been critical of other people. And I couldn't wait to cut it out. I mean, to erase it on my word processor. I was like, I got more to talk about than running down somebody else. It's interesting that the people in the kingdom of God, many of whom are my friends that I've poked fun out and run down, these are the first ones who have risen up to pray for us and to call us before the throne of God. And God has just worked me over in that area. And I want to say that to this church. So many of you, all of us, have formed opinions about others in the church or across the body of Christ. Stop it. Amen. Don't do it anymore. Repent of it. We'll not do that. We will love one another and we will walk with one another. And if we don't agree with one another, that still will not stop us from praying for one another. God spoke to me specifically yesterday, back in that boat again. I was with Gene and Jane Berry. And I'm going to say this. I've struggled over it, but I know I need to say it to you. Bill Nelson is sitting out here. Bill's a Democratic candidate for governor. He has taken a stance that many do not agree with. And some of the people in this church have cursed him because of that. And you are to stop that. This man is our brother. And we're going to stand with him. Now, Listen to me. I'm not saying you vote for him. I'm not telling you that. I'm not saying that you endorse what he believes necessarily. But I'm saying you pray for him. You hold him before God. He's in a critical position in this country and in this state. And he needs somebody who will hold him up. And if you don't pray anything else, pray God give him wisdom. But it's not right for a man to be out there in this world struggling to try to do something as a public servant, whether you agree with him or not, and have to do it by himself. He needs his family around him. Now do it. And if you have cursed him, even on the basis of the fact that you think you have done it because of a stance that you think you're godly, a stance that I agree with, by the way, but you are to stop that kind of thing. And if you've cursed me, stop that too. And if you cursed anybody else in this church, stop that. And if you have put your opinion upon anybody else in the kingdom of God, stop that. The brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ need to stand together. Whether we agree with each other or not, we will stand as a family. Now hear me on this. Hear me, because I don't want you to walk out of here and say I told you to vote Democrat. I'm not telling you to do that. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. I don't care whether you vote or not. I don't care what your stance is on anything. I've got my own stance. I know where I stand on the abortion issue. Bill and I have talked about it and we've prayed about it together. That's incidental to this. I'm simply saying if there is any brother or sister in Jesus Christ who calls Jesus by name and says he is Lord, we have an obligation to pray for that brother and sister. I don't care who that is. And that goes all the way from the Pope to the Pentecostals. That they call Jesus Lord. We will pray for them and we will bless them. And we will ask God to visit them and to reveal himself to them. And we will stand together. We will not curse the other churches in this area. We will bless the other churches in this area. We will call down God's blessing upon them. We will bless the other Christians all over this world. Wherever they stand, we will do that. I was going to let Don come up here and share, but I don't think I'm going to do this. Don Williams, I wanted him to tell a little bit about what's been happening with the staff. Let me just share this briefly with you. I know that Tuesday something happened in the staff meeting. I wasn't there. I was up in the hospital. They were running this needle into my side and pulling stuff out of my kidney, which I don't want to think about. And then they kept me in the hospital. I've never been a patient in the hospital. I've bragged about a whole lot of things. I've gotten arrogant. Gotten arrogant about my health. God told me 8 years ago that He was going to give me another 50 years of productive and creative life if I cooperated with Him. And I am cooperating with Him. I took that to mean if I lost weight and if I kept it off and if I stayed strong physically. Everything else, I've just kind of done it in my own strength. There's been massive repentance of that, folks. When you come face to face with death, you get serious in a hurry. And we've been there. And that's not because I'm trying to gain God's favor. I got God's favor. I've had it all along. But it's because I want to be a man of God. With whatever time we got left, I want to be a man of God. And that's where we're going to walk. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it with joy. We're going to do it with power. We're going to do it with strength. And we're going to see God manifest Himself all over this place. And that's where we're coming from. Now, I know that God did something real special in the staff meeting. They brought the report back to me. They kept phoning me up at the hospital. Something's happening in the staff meeting. People are on the floor. There's deliverance taking place. There's ministry taking place. They just closed the church office. They're just on their faces on the floor. And then it happened again. They followed it through on the next day. And then on Thursday, why, they had the husbands and wives of some of the pastors involved. And there was more of that stuff. And people's marriages were beginning to get right. And then they came out to my house Tuesday afternoon and carried it on through again. And there was power. I mean power. I sat there in that chair weeping. We had washed each other's feet. They'd washed my feet. I didn't wash anybody's feet. They just washed mine, and you just cried. You know, you just fill the bucket up with tears when that's going on. And it was blessed. I was crazy. My kids live, you know, on that compound. They live all around us. And they said, way out in the woods, they could hear us up there in the house, yelling and screaming, shouting. The whole thing was alive, but noise. It was marvelous. Jim Bartholomew, bless his heart. Bless you, Jim. We've been reading a passage from Mark 2. God had given us a passage from Mark 2 where the fellows brought this crippled man to Jesus who was palsied and couldn't walk, and they took the roof off the house and let him down through the roof, and God began dealing with the faith of friends and how important that was to have folks who would let you down and bring you to Jesus. And then that passage says, Jesus, when Jesus saw the faith of the friends, that he spoke forgiveness to the man who was lying there and healed him. And on the basis of that, Jim, I was sitting in this chair, this kind of recliner chair, and Jim got right down, right against my tummy. He had his mouth, I mean, right against my kidney and lymph glands, wherever those things are in there. Shouting into my tummy to the cells of my body. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're forgiven. You're healed. You're forgiven. You're healed. I just wanted you to keep going. I could feel the vibrations all the way through my body. I mean, I just said, keep that going. That's where we are. We're going to walk that thing out. Marvelous things happen among the leadership of this church. Marvelous things happening among so many of you, and I know so many of you have gotten word back to us about visitations you've had from God and things that have happened. And I don't like being the focal point of this. I'd much rather sit on the side and report it, but God says no longer. You're not going to be a spectator on this. You're going to be the participant in the midst of it, and that's where we are.